Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Before we go to the marijuana story, the term loosies have resulted. I remember one really bad incident in New York where cigarette taxes were so huge that people only wanted to have loose cigarettes. Give me a few cigarettes, bodega, that type of thing. And cops got into a struggle and the guy was smothered. Remember that? I thought that was exactly due to the state of New York taxing unbelievably, and it was overkill in going after cigarettes with that. Well, now in New York, bodegas are selling loosies, not of single cigarettes, but due to the high cost of eggs, they're now selling individual eggs. Yes, individual eggs. And Denny's, which, well, the first thing I think of with Denny's is, I know Dan probably thinks French toast or something. I just see a giant egg out there. They're putting a surcharge if you order something with eggs. I think it's 50 cents at least at Denny's. I don't know on single eggs or how many eggs or grand slams or not. Yeah. And that's making news because this is, you know, what's the secret to, I just think that President Trump absolutely should hold a news conference or put people out there. What are we doing about the high cost of eggs? Drill down on it, push back on it, go after it. And I realize because of bird flu and all that, that's part of the problem. But that's the only thing that Democrats have any leverage with. Now, as far as excessive state regulation or misguide, again, people in Jersey voted, and you can look it up, even Ocean City, which is teetotalers, right? Publicly. They voted for recreational weed. I think it was in the first Murphy election. It took them a while, these people. They overtaxed it. They did all kinds of things. Remember they said, well, cops used to go after adults who were black or Latino. Now they can't because they can smoke marijuana. So they're going to go after kids. Remember all the crazy restrictions put on cops? How many shows we did with chiefs of police at the Jersey Shore because of all the acting up, all the stuff that happened? Well, it was due to Murphy and that former attorney general. Well, now two-thirds of the 564? I think that's the accurate number. That's a lot of municipalities. Some of these are pretty tiny, right? They said, no, we don't want a marijuana store in our town. I remember some I were surprised. We had a little game of who would go for it or not. I don't think Wildwood ever did, for example, but Morristown did, which was surprising to us. Atlantic City, they got 12 of them within, I think it's a square mile. 12 of them. I know it's within a small radius. I mean, how big's Atlantic City proper? Not that big. They know what their clientele is. Yeah, let's. Can you imagine imagine the competition there. My God, 12 of them. Might even be more now. So the state's not liking that they're not getting enough marijuana stores in enough locales. And I guess, I don't know, I haven't looked at the map recently. Some are shut out. Well, that's too bad. I mean, wasn't the deal, look, adults want this, but we don't want it in our town. I was like the compromise that was set up that seemed to be a fair compromise, keeping the state government and guys like Murphy and all their nonsense out of this and letting people decide, because this is a big step for a town. It's still associated with, even though it's changed, I get it, the look of the stores and all, you know, they're not bad. I don't know, does it attract more crime? The whole thing associated with it, we haven't studied it enough. But if a town says, no, people don't want that here. If you want to go get it, go to Atlantic City, go to Morristown, which is surprising. We've got a lot of people in Jersey. Your thoughts on this? So again, Henry, I was libertarian on this. People voted. They wanted it. They might do it soon in Pennsylvania, although I still think it'll be years. But the deal was, no, we don't want it in our town. Is that a fair compromise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's libertarian to also refuse that.
Yeah, exactly.
That same thing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Don't make me have it. We can have it, you know, maybe right. with some different parameters in the future, because I do think a lot of the reason, towns will decline a dispensary is the quality of life. Like, they don't want to smell
right.
skunk, per se, you know,
yeah.
everywhere they go in town. And I agree with that.
And some of these towns, as I said, are relatively small. You probably can't put the store in a more out-of-the-way place.
Mm-hmm.
Like Atlantic City, they don't care. If you live in Atlantic City, you know anything's going to happen. So they put it there. That's the vibe. It's a different thing. Morristown found some out-of-the-way places to put it. But this is just an example of Murphy and Democrats. The guy with the bill is the head of the Senate in Jersey, and they want to now say, no, the town can't decide this. And Henry's point's well taken. If we can say we want it, a town ought to be able to say, no, we don't want this. Apparently, what they're trying to do, the town may have a medical marijuana store in some cases, and they want to turn it into recreational. Well, there's all the difference in the world with a recreational and a medical. The medical is going to draw a different, by and large, as far as I can tell, versus somebody coming there recreationally. And we haven't asked in a while, how's it going with this in Jersey? I don't see any horrific stories of an increase in drunk driving or inebriated driving, however you want to put it. I don't know. I don't see a lot of stories of how on the job, this is work as far as people failing drug tests. So I can't say there's anything negative. I think it's overblown how much money they say. Like Shapiro is saying we'll take in billions a year in his budget. But once again, you just can't trust progressives in Jersey just to do what people wanted. People were clear. They're saying, look, adults, let them have weed. Okay, we've arrived at that point. I think it was close to 60-40. But we may not want it in our town. Like, I don't see Ocean City putting in recreational marijuana. I mean, they won't let you have a bar there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah, so does Ocean City have to do it? Wildwood, we used to have Mayor Pete on, Mayor Ernie listening. I don't think they've done it. I don't even know who at the Jersey Shore exactly. I don't see Sea Isle doing it, for example, the times I've been there. Cape May, I don't see them putting it in. Shouldn't they have the right to decide that? 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all I need you to do is just push #1210. That's all that we want you to do. And get in on the side question, too. Coming up, I'll tell you a little bit about SEPTA's latest, launching buses with armored compartments for the operators, which I think they need. But what do you do if you're on the bus? And we could do a side question. Name an organization that's worse run than SEPTA. And I don't think I would accept an answer. The UN.
Wow.
The UN, maybe. The UN, yeah, it's pretty.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know that I accept an answer with that too easily. Let me go to Chris, though. I love this one. This was an all-timer. Chris in South Jersey on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Chris, thanks for the wait. Go right ahead.
Hey, Dom. Yep. So mine is Mr. Blackwell's 10 Worst-Dressed Women of the Year.
Yes. Do you remember?
And I'd like to know how he never picked Crooked Hillary to be on that list.
Well, he did pick Cher, as I remember a lot, for some of the ghastly outfits. Whoopi Goldberg was on there one year, I remember, too. Yeah.
Yeah, she was. But he went against Queen Elizabeth II and Princess Stephanie, but he never picked Crooked Hillary.
All right. Yeah, well, yeah, Hillary, as the pantsuit is brutal. It's hard to find a good pantsuit. For a lot of women. I mean, I get it why they do it, you know, sitting on TV. And Hillary just, the pantsuits were pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, plus the headband, too, that she always wore.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. No one wears a headband anymore.
Unless now, last time we had Roger Stone on, Dan asked him if he could wear a green suit. And Mr. Stone, I don't think, gave any judgment on that. He was talking about fuchsias and everything. He does those.
Yeah, as long as they're pastel colors, he's okay with it.
I think he does the best dress list, and he actually said that Tucker Carlson's on it.
We talked about that.
Yeah, Tucker Carlson, no way on the best dress
list. No, with the khakis and the whole jacket and tie. He looks like a frat boy.
Yeah, the khakis. The khaki just sets me off.
He's rushing Sig Chi at Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. All right, 855-839-1210, you get in. So, SEPTA now, a Bucks County SWAT team is going to test bullet-resistant compartments for SEPTA bus operators today. The Transport Workers Union asked for the demonstration for members from around the country where they're going to put these in. Do they need them? Well, yeah, and the reason is Larry Krasner, Philadelphia in general. And what happens if you're a SEPTA bus driver and it's an ill-run organization up and down the line? They're horrible. But imagine now they're going to be in bulletproof glass, essentially, the bus driver. What happens to the other people on the bus? Well, they're at risk. I mean, that's life in Philadelphia. Is that overkill? No. I don't think so. I think their union is right in this. And now this is going to be something that might be modeled across the country. It's just a hard truth. That's life in Philadelphia, and that's a really, really tough job. All right, more calls coming up, but first it's time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody!
Where's all the money gone?
All right, well, we'll answer that question today. Oh, boy. Gary Sinise again. We're playing for a pair of movie passes to see Brothers After War at the Regal, Warrington Crossing, Warrington, Pennsylvania, from executive producer Gary Sinise. Jake Redmacher reunites with his brothers and fellow soldiers, revealing the raw truth of war and the journey from warrior to veteran. Don't miss Brothers After War in theaters now from SDG Releasing and the Gary Sinise Foundation. Rated R is, of course, one of our all-time favorites, Gary Sinise. All right, Henry, what have you cooked up today?
Yeah, Dom. So today we are talking about that all-time list. And one of those all-time lists is Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs of All Time.
Right.
Now, the original list in 2004 had Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone on the top of the list. And they had the same thing in 2010. So I'm going to play you a cover of Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone. You have to tell me which language it is being sung.
By the way, before you go there, they said that was the all-time song.
In the first two iterations of the list, yeah.
I love Bob Dylan, but man, that's pretty heavy duty. That's the all-time song.
I believe in the next one he fell to four or five.
Okay.
So
all right.
It's interesting.
We're looking for what language is Like a Rolling Stone in.
Er was eens ooit dat je spetterde het mooi naar het zwerverzootje en aan ons gooide, weet je nog? Toen zeiden ze al dat geplaat gebrand, dat wordt nog je val. Je dacht ze maken maar een geintje toch? Jij lachte ze uit in een smoel, de gozers die daar rondhingen zonder doel.
Yeah, I could see potentially why they say that. The riff there is incredible.
Oh,
it's
totally
classic. There's several moments there that are genius. Yeah.
But can you get the languages?
Oh, my God.
It's a tough one. I won't lie.
I give singing that song in whatever that language is. I have no knowledge. I'm in a soundproof booth here, so I don't know what it is. Hit us with that, and you're off to a great film with Gary Sinise Productions. All that here on Talk Radio 12.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right. Before we get the answer and play you the clue, Leslie on Twitter, great one. The emergency call list. That is a great list. You get on that list. You're in the top of that list. That's who you call in case of an emergency.
Who's your top?
Bro, of course.
Oh, well,
yeah, exactly.
Well,
she doesn't answer a whole lot, so I may
see,
have
that's
to
the issue. That's the issue.
Yeah, that's right.
I want one of my parents, but I know one doesn't answer more than the other.
Okay. I know who would answer. DJ, more than anybody.
There you
go. Maybe I should have to move him up on that list. Here's the clue. What language is this song voted by Rolling Stone not once but twice the all-time best song? You guys got the vocal a little bit. All right, let's go to Mike in Hamilton. Mike, what language is that being sung in?
Well, now that I hear it again, I may be wrong, but I thought it was German.
Close, relatively close. I don't know exactly linguistically, but they strike me as pretty close.
They sound very similar.
Yeah. Joe in Bordentown. All right, Joe. The language is not Polish, I'll tell you that. You always want to go there. What's the language, Joe?
Hungarian.
What is it?
Hungarian.
Still fairly close. Scott in Northeast Philly. Scott, what's the language?
Ukrainian.
No, not Ukraine. Now we're going a little far afield. All right, let me see if I can give you anything.
I mean,
think water. A lot of water.
Yes.
A lot of water in this country.
That was one of those things.
Huge amount of water.
I was going to say maybe a large structure that swings around
exactly.
And around.
That we can't say on the air because
you know, maybe we didn't want to see those off
yes.
our coastlines in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. Think of that. Yes. All right, hit us with that. We'll take that one off air. 855-839-1210. We'll see if we get a winner. What language is that classic Dylan song in? Hit us with that. While we're doing that, I almost forgot today. Any chance we have to play you Hank Johnson? This is Cut 23. Johnson, of course, is the guy who was afraid that if we put, I think it was about 6,000 to 7,000 U.S. military in Guam, the island would tip over. And he's just entertaining beyond belief. He also said, I can't say the word midgets. Then he says midgets. And he wanted to know about helium and balloons many times. This guy's a U.S. congressman. At times, he's been a chairman of a committee. Listen to Hank Johnson's latest Democrat styling.
Let's hold off that for a second. I lost that clip. Hold on.
Okay. All right. He apparently wants U.S. marshals to arrest Donald Trump. I don't know. Maybe Trump's thinking of tipping over Guam here. We'll get that cut in a second. But 855-839-1210. We do want to get a winner on the Money Melody today. What is that language? I'll tell you, it's not Finnish either. No Finn stuff here. Do you have that one, Henry? You're still working on it. I'll go to somebody else here. All right, let's go to Bill in Bucks. Hey, Bill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and greetings from Warrington Township, Bucks County.
Well, thank you.
So that's where I'm at today.
All right, what do you have today, Bill?
The side question I have is a list that many folks use every day of the week. It's Craigslist.
Yeah, that's a great one. Is it still as popular, would you say? I don't hear a lot about Craigslist anymore. Seems like you can get an assassin on Craigslist. That seems to be available somehow or another.
Well, you used to be able to do dating on Craigslist, but they took that away.
Okay. Craigslist is a good one. That is a staple. All right, here's Hank Johnson. Now, remember the stylings before. Guam will tip over. He's got an admiral sitting there. The guy's got to say, sir, we'll get right back to you on whether Guam will tip over into the ocean because of putting more U.S. military in there. Here's Hank Johnson. What should be done with Trump?
If a president willfully failed or refused to comply with a court ruling, they could be held in contempt of court theoretically, but it would be up to the U.S. Marshals Service, which is a part of the Justice Department, to be the enforcement arm for the federal courts. Is that correct?
Your hypothetical would have to play itself out.
It would be the U.S. Marshals who fall under the Department of Justice who would have to carry out the contempt order. And so what would happen if the U.S. Marshals Service, under the command of the Justice Department at the direction of the president, refused to carry out a court order of contempt? What would then be the state of our democracy?
Again, I'm here on behalf of the Judicial Conference to talk about the shortage of judges that we have. I would comment on those needs in particular.
Oh, my God. Every time. See, this guy was better than the admiral had to say, yes, sir, we'll get your report on the tip over. This guy's saying, I'm not talking about your U.S. Marshals. I'm here to talk about this. Let's move it on here with Hank Johnson. The whole presentation of this guy is so over the top. All right, Henry, we have a winner here on the Dylan song. Who's the winner?
Winner is Alan in Bucks County.
Alan, congratulations. Enjoy the movie. And the language was?
Dutch.
All right, pretty good. Close
always
to
the Dutch.
Yeah, that's very hard. Dutch, very hard language to do the Dylan song in. All right, Canadians are not coming, apparently, to Wildwood. Now, I don't know about you, but I know people that worked in Wildwood, and not exactly big tippers, among other things. They're also, apparently, the French Canadians, Speedo wearers.
Oh, duh.
Yeah. Well,
the
I
European
mean,
in them.
I have never really seen a guy in a Speedo in Wildwood, have you? I have not seen that.
No, not in Wildwood.
We hear it all the time, and it's obviously one of the most unattractive things you're going to be doing, I think. I don't think you got any women listening. All right, we need these guys in Speedos. Here's a little bit from NBC 10 about Canadians, I guess, getting even with Trump.
They've told me the exchange rate is they just can't afford it.
Canadians have been longtime guests at the VIP Family Motel in Wildwood Crest. But owner Melissa Roy says in the past few weeks, the Canadian families with reservations for this summer called to cancel.
You build up a relationship, too, over the years, and it's sad that they're just not able to come.
Tourism experts say losing 30 cents on every dollar is a significant factor for Canadians spending money in the U.S.
They have less disposable income.
It might mean changing your summer vacation plans to stay here in Canada.
Many Canadians have also reportedly scrapped U.S. vacation plans to protest new tariffs announced by President Trump. His talk of annexing Canada as a 51st state also fueling anger. For decades, Cape May County has been a popular summertime destination for Canadians.
We've seen a significant drop off of search traffic from Canadian customers.
Wayne Watlington says as a result, bookings by Canadians are down on his vacation rental website for the Wildwoods.
The Canadians definitely will make more inventory available for people, you know, in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
I started asking questions after the agency that handles tourism for the Wildwoods issued this news release last week, extending a warm welcome to Canadian visitors. A spokesperson confirms the timing is not a coincidence.
Well, I think it's a good message because we've always been Canadian friendly.
County tourism officials say they're making changes to marketing messages aimed at Canadians.
We are fine-tuning them to evoke memories, to, you know, bring a kinder, gentler Cape May County that we miss. You know, we're going to miss you.
We're already 80% booked for the summer.
Melissa Roy is confident new bookings will make up for those Canadian cancellations, but she still hopes her regulars from north of the border will be back next year. Ted Greenberg.
All right, so watch for this. We'll see more and more of this as the push pull. By the way, in polling, the one area where Trump did, I told you about this big Harris poll, and it's amazing how well Trump is doing. His approval rating, he's even up 50-46 with suburbanites, 47-45 with women. Across the board, the one area of trouble, it's a bit negative on tariffing. So we'll see how it plays out, exactly where the tariffs are, what is the outcome of it. And this wasn't all tariffing with the Canadians, but yeah, that could be a hit to people in Wildwood, I'm sure. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you jump on board. Hit us with an all-time list. This coming off P. Diddy and Epstein, the list coming our way shortly, we hope. I started off with Ten Commandments, Bill of Rights, but we've gotten some really, really good ones. And the story today that's still surfacing is the attitude toward Doge and how this is filtering down now to even Joe, who called me about the Philadelphia police. It's across the board. Any big bureaucracy, and the federal government is mammoth as anything we've ever seen, is going to be doing this. This is what they're in business for, and they've gotten away with it up until now. We talked about over in Jersey, the Rutgers football team, ordering outrageously $450,000 from DoorDash, then saying, all right, we'll order it from Grubhub. In what universe do they think they have the right to do this? Well, they're entitled. It's your money. And I want it back. And I'm hearing people that say, no, we have to pay down the deficit. I don't think that's the consensus. I think it's 65, 35 or more saying, no, give that money back to Americans. Go and get it. Grab it back, claw it back in any way, shape, or form, whatever pressure you have to use to get that money back. And all this talk of the Mike Johnsons and all about, well, we have to pay down our debt, we're conservatives. Really, Mike? Look at his record. Rand Paul's the only one of the few guys that you can trust on not excessively spending taxpayer money. There's very few of them in Congress whose record can stand up to that. They try to masquerade it. They're not as bad as the Democrats. But in the end, they keep on running up the deficit. Trump is even talking about a balanced budget. And we're hearing again the old refrain, why are we focusing in? This is what we keep, the left constantly does, the media. Why are you focusing in on all this spending with Doge? The real money is in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. They always try, they're trying to dare Trump into saying we're going to cut those programs. Now, there's real money in this. There might be $2 trillion in savings. If not $2 trillion, maybe $1.5 trillion. I'd say that's real money. 855-839-1210. All right, it's Dom time. So Caroline Leavitt today talked about, kind of shocked the nerd. Did you ever see the White House Correspondents' Dinner? I don't think Trump, nor do I think he should join this. I don't like roast. They get out of hand. They pull their punches, though, if it's somebody on the left. I mean, what Don Imus did to the Clintons, unforgivable. Bill Clinton had popped him there. I'm all on board with that. You can go back and remember it. It was ridiculous. But she said the White House, now this is new. This isn't what we heard, just what we heard before. The White House Correspondents Association, they will not determine the media that gets the press briefing and other things in the Trump administration. They're still going to keep the five major TV networks because of the reach to get that out there. But there's going to be much more radio, etc., and streaming services other than the usual suspects that are, in other words, they're going to decide, not this White House correspondence group, which are just, obviously, when you see that event they put on every year, I mean, some of the comedians, some of the stuff they've done was so in the tank, so brutal. That one woman going after Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you may remember, we could play ad nauseum. And it's very nerdish, very left. Well, they're not going to be the ones that say they get a seat there every day. It's going to rotate, and the White House will decide. And rather than just that little chair to the front, where we've seen some new voices ask questions, apparently they're going to be in the rotation, newer voices like talk radio, to actually be sitting there where the usual so-called legacy media is. Now, this is big news. I couldn't support more taking it away from this White House correspondence outfit. You've seen these people. They're passive-aggressive beyond belief. And it will be interesting to see how they try to challenge this legally, if they do. So this is a big uptick. It's not just going to be a random seat here and there. You're actually going to have other voices there on a regular basis. And they'll keep the five. I get why they keep the five TVs, for that coverage. They'll have their seat because you need that reach. But they're going to branch out to this. And really, this is one of the reasons they were so successful in the last election. I can't wait to see the talk radio seat there. We'll have to get a big cushion, a whole, how that's going to rotate. Imagine sitting next to some of these. Who's the worst White House correspondent now? I got to think which one on a daily basis that we see. Over the years, I've had some of them on. But it's the organization. They're not the power anymore. They're sending that message. Yet you are not in charge. We'll make this determination. Thank God. They're really drilling down on stuff like this, making a lot of progress on it. And this was all, I think, around a question about something else that the White House correspondent, they didn't like. I think it comes up in April. So it'll be interesting to see if President Trump attends. I'm not a fan of the roast at all. Oh, you can't take a few. No. It just ends up. Most of these roasts that I've seen, it's not funny. It ends up being just brutal. Well, can't you take some comedy? No. Don Imus, did you ever see that, Henry? That reference I made to Don Imus? If you just look at it, you're going to go, come on now. The guy sitting there, even Bill Clinton with his wife. No. And this is the stuff they'll do. And then they'll try to hide behind, they are the media. You have to submit to this. No, we don't. I might ask tomorrow. So if Trump did attend, or if the agreement is the White House gets to pick the comedian, who would be the comedian? Jimmy Fallon? Oh, man. That would be nuts to see this play out. This is a big move, though. All right, let's go to Ron in South Jersey. Ron, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Ron, afternoon to you.
Good, Dom. Yeah, I used to deliver frozen pasta in Wildwood years ago, and all the business people, they couldn't wait for the Canadians to come because they claimed that it made their summer. They came 2 weeks.
Right.
I forget which 2 weeks it was, but it was amazing how happy they were and to see the Canadians. And I did see a couple Speedos.
You did? All right. And what was your take on it? Yeah. What was your take on it?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Speedos.
Now, when Dan comes back tomorrow, we'll go through men's bathing suits. I did admit, Henry, I used to wear a jeans, cut type of thing, and he's calling them Daisy Dukes and all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
You never wore a jeans bathing suit?
Jeans bathing suit?
Not a whole jeans, a cutoff.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. Ron, have you ever worn a jeans bathing suit?
Never, because I would sink. I'm not a good swimmer. They're heavy and when they're wet.
Not as bad as a speed. I can see Dan adopting a Speedo look. I can see that.
Oh.
All right, Ron, what's your list?
Well, it's an old saying. They gave me a list that could choke a horse. Every summer, my wife would come out with a list, and I'd say, this is going to choke a horse.
That's good. We had the honey-do list, but I thank you for that, Ron. Yeah. The honey-do list never ends. You don't get to the end of that list, no matter how you comply and what you do.
Well, there's always a new issue.
There's new issue. And the stuff that you did fix, you know, over the period of time, all that time doing, you go back, it's something else that's on there. Yeah, I think writing it down is not a good idea. Just let it go in one ear and out the other and just pretend like you're piddling around. I did this.
Did you get to that yet? Yeah. Oh, I was just about to.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's what I always say. Tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day. Let's go to Chris in Flower Town. Talk. Yes, the jeans look. So, Henry, what kind of bathing wear do you say?
What's acceptable?
Acceptable, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't go as far as wearing jeans, but yeah, just a regular swim trunks is fine.
Okay.
At least for guys, yeah, I wouldn't go. You can even get them real short. You know, have the inseam be like 6 inches, but like anything past that, you're really
it's pretty bad.
You're getting up.
Yeah. All right, Chris in Flower Town. Hey, Chris, welcome in.
Dom, thank you, Dom. Great show. My wife loves your show.
Well, thank you.
She just married me. I grew up in South Philly, but I lived in Wisconsin coaching kids in hockey for 35 years.
I'm trying to hear that accent. Yeah. Oh, you just got married. Congratulations.
Yeah. So, and I didn't have no children, but she loves listening to you. And she told me, you know, that I should listen to you because you're the South Philly guy, the Philly guy.
Well, thank you.
Let me touch on the three things and then, you know, keep moving. Then that'll be it. The first thing, the marijuana. Our government made a mistake a long time ago. 30 years, 35 years ago, maybe 40, they should have let the Vietnam vets in Northern California grow the herb and sell it for the government, for the Army and the VA. They would be the most powerful instead of going up there and breaking them, cutting them all down and burning them on the beach. That's the one thing they made wrong. The second thing is our city. Me and my brothers had a business in San Francisco, 15 years. The waterfronts were designed by the same architects, Delaware Avenue and the Embarcadero. Our Phillies should have built on the river like the Giants built on the bay. And now the Sixers have an opportunity to build where the big boat, that ship was for 30 years, paying $10,000 a week or whatever. They should build there to help build that riverfront up a little bit.
Well, Chris, to that point, because you've moved all over the place, this has been the contention.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
No, Penn's Landing has been the contention. There's almost nothing there, occasionally a little stuff here and there, and it's unexplainable. You're right, San Francisco, we honeymooned there, great waterfront. Philadelphia's got nothing.
They had the chance. They had the opportunity. I think the sports owners had a lot to do with that to keep all the money in one area. That's my opinion. But now the other thing is New Jersey. I smoked, you know, my whole life. My mother used to break my stones all the time. But now I moved back from Wisconsin. I moved to New Jersey. And look what they do. They legalize marijuana. Up in little cities, I could see that's fine. But see, I for my personal use, I know it hurt me a little bit, but it also took me away from, you know, the nonsense of life that you see right now, like the libertarians and all them. You know what I mean? It took me away from that. So,
well, thank you, Chris.
That's all.
Thank you, Chris. Good call. I like you. Just went through your index. Thanks to your wife, too. Yeah, we have pride of Philly, South Philly. It pains me. I can't be a cheerleader, put on the pom-poms and all that. Shave the legs for Philadelphia. No, none of that. No cheerleading. All right. The bathing suit thing, the Speedos and the Canadians. This is a big moment, though. Good for the White House. They're telling this outfit, which is just a front group of passive-aggressive liberals, no, you are not going to determine who gets to be the vehicle to ask these questions, etc., for the American people. They're conceding. They're going to go with the TV networks. That's smart because you need to reach. Other than that, it'll be a rotation. And does that mean the New York Times will not have a seat there every day? Yeah, it seems to me it means that. Well, you can't do that. Does it mean Politico will not have a seat there if they do outfits like that? Yeah, it means that. All right. Also, Trump, the other thing on to right now is why were the media not concerned about Biden with a stroke of the pen nixing all the Keystone pipeline jobs? Well, because they're against energy. And they would say, well, you can't question Biden. He's for the working man and woman. Remember, was that his first executive order, or was it among the first three? Trump building that back. And it's a good thing across the board. All right. It is the lightning round next.
on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, Dom Giordano Show. Welcome in list. We got some great ones today coming off P. Diddy and the Epstein list. Let's go to Joe of Exton on the lightning round. Hey, Joe, good afternoon. What's your list?
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon. My list is a list comprised of 50 young single females, each vying for the title of Miss America, based upon their physical beauty and a talent, such as singing or performing on a musical instrument.
Very good, Joe. Yeah, that's the list for Miss America. Also, make sure you have all kinds of things that are done with bathing suits, etc., there to look good, that are kind of ghastly. All right, let's try Don in Franconia on Talk Radio 12. All right, Don, what's your list today?
Good afternoon, John. I'm going to go with the Major League Baseball manager comes out before the game and presents the starting lineup. That's my list.
That's very good. And Don, while you're there, who should lead off for your fight and fills this year?
I honestly believe that Turner should be the starting batter and Schwarber batting second.
Second? Oh, my God. I like Schwarber out of the leadoff. Henry, you're a new base
player. I am firmly in the leadoff camp. You should be leading off every game.
Let's still continue. I think that day's over. There's been some turnaround with the Phillies. Clearly, it's going to be Turner, but batting Schwarber second makes no sense to me.
Yeah, no, that's even worse. Yeah,
it is worse. First time I saw George Carlin, I couldn't believe the talent. I don't know. It wasn't the Tonight Show. It was something else. I went, wow, this guy is unbelievable because he had something no one else had. Bruce in the Northeast, what's your list?
Hey, Don, you know, he wrote most of his own material, too, I believe.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. It's the seven deadly, whatever the word, sins.
Seven dirty words.
And I can go through them if you want me to.
Yeah,
you know?
That's fine. We like the license just where it is here. Yeah. The
seven spit.
That you can't say on TV or radio or someplace else. So, first time you saw him performing, you said, wow, this is different. This guy was brilliant. Now, went kind of haywire at one point. I forget why, but one of those moments that I remember. That's a great one. The Earl of Tacony on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Earl, what's yours?
Don't let the name fool you, but the Book of Life or the Book of Fate, the list of everybody. The anti-abortion people said God knew you in the womb before you were born, and how in fate, where you're fated to die at a certain time. You ever see people do incredibly stupid things and they manage to survive, and
yes,
people that, you know, take, you know, the best care of their life and just happen to drop dead? You know, it's a kind of a quasi-religious superstition sort of thing that you're in the Book of Life, and, you know, God knows exactly when you're going to die.
Oh, man. What a call to end on. Can't we have something else? Let's go back to the jean shorts. Okay, Henry, give me some of the contenders. These really turned out well today.
Yeah. Some of the ones I liked today was Lenny and Pittman's honey-do list. I know that's been something we've been talking about all day. How about Joe and Columbus's answer of bracketology, Gary and Newtown's answer of the bucket list, and I like Don and Franconia's answer of the baseball lineup.
I was going back and forth. I like the honey-do list, but I think Gary's the bucket list I should have taken off, so I got to go with Gary and the bucket list.
All
the bucket list is a really good list. You hear about it all the time, more so than ever. All right, so we'll do it all again tomorrow. Dave McCormick will be with us. He's the sitting senator. 12:30, and I'll ask him about Doge and dollars. Does he favor going back to the American people or not? And crypto. Oh, yeah, you don't want to miss it. Rich Zioli next. 4 Big Hours, Talk Radio, 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.